It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
Welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am Greg Camp, the lifelong Little Leaguer, and I'm really happy to welcome everybody to the show, both our regular listeners and, of course, any of the new listeners that we have out there. Please remember, you can always follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and, of course, don't forget to check out our website where you can download the podcast of the show, as well as at the WYSL1040.com website for Youth Sports Now. Let's talk a little bit about things. We've been having things in the last few weeks be a little bit heavy. We've been talking about concussions, we've been talking about kids getting cut, and we've been talking to psychologists about all some of the stuff that may be a little bit negative or maybe just kind of in the news that puts a little bit of a tarnish on some of the sports that we discuss. But let me throw some new numbers out at you, okay? What if I said to you 13 divisions of play? Or if I said 70 plus games on TV? Or maybe if I said 2.4 million participants in 7,000 plus communities in over 80 countries of the world with over 1 million adult volunteers. No, it is not the United Nations. It sounds like it, but it's not. But it could be. What I'm talking about is Little League Baseball. And for those listeners who listen regularly to Youth Sports Now, you know I bleed Little League blue and red. And certainly as a league president, but also as a coach, it's something that I firmly believe in. But I am really happy to introduce Brian McClintock, who is the Director of Media Relations for Little League International down in Williamsport. And there's something going on, just this little thing going on starting in 2014. And I'm going to let Brian tell you what it is. Brian, what's going on? Welcome to Youth Sports Now.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. Happy to be here. You know, all of those big, impressive numbers, they can get sort of lost in the history of Little League. But before we were in 84 countries and before we had 2.4 million people, there was a guy here in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, named Carl Stotz, who had the idea to start a baseball organization for his nephews, actually. And, he was working on it just about this time in 1938. And then on June 6, 1939, we played our first game in Williamsport. About 30 kids came out for three divisions, and we will be celebrating the 75th anniversary of that first Little League season all during 2014.
Wow. I mean, 75 years. I mean, let's face it, 75 years of anything in continuous play and continuous action and business, if you will. That's a big deal. So tell me about this 75th anniversary that Little League is going to be celebrating. And what are some of the things that are going to be taking place, both maybe on a national level or international level? But then what are some of the things that the local guys, the local presidents, the local volunteers can do to help you out?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things about Little League and, our 75-year history is that, there's very, very few things that you can say have really not changed a lot in 75 years. You know, the passion of on-field, the excitement of being on-field, the life lessons that are learned on a Little League field, the same things that happened 75 years ago are happening at communities around the world today. And we're really going to use next year, 2014, as a recognition of where we've come from, how we've grown and expanded, and really developing great community leaders for all of our millions and millions of alumni out there and our current Little Leaguers. Some of the things you're going to be seeing, we're working with VIA Productions here in Pennsylvania to produce a documentary that we're working on that very hard with some of our distinguished alumni, talking about the importance of Little League throughout the history. One of the big things, launching really early January, is going to be our Big Legacy Project. And what we're really looking for with our Big Legacy Project is we'll have a, interactive website that everybody can upload their Little League memories and really be a part of the celebration. The importance of Little League, and it's really our celebration, it's everybody's celebration. So whether you played 1 year of T-ball or you coached your nephew or you just enjoyed going to the games or watching the games in Williamsport or your local tournaments, we want you to share those experiences and share your wonderful Little League memories. And that's going to be a really large part of our early celebration next year. You know, we're also looking at our local leagues really to help us out. Again, it's a community-based organization. It has been since its founding. You know, we were founded as a community-based with local volunteers helping out, and that's what we are today, too. Really at the core of our organization is our community and our local leagues. So we really want our local leagues to really join us in the celebration, share what they're doing with us. You know, the official hashtag is going to be Little League 75 for Twitter and Facebook and really all social media. And we really want people to interact with us and show us how they're celebrating so we can share that celebration with the world.
You know, and for me, I have to sort of temper my excitement because, you know, as the lifelong Little Leaguer, which is what they call me on the show here, this is really exciting. I mean, 75 years of baseball and Little League, and to be part of it is just an amazing thing. And I think everybody's excited. I can't actually wait for 2014 to start to jump into this stuff. But you mentioned, Brian, some of the things like, you know, the notable alumni. How about this, folks? You know, let me run a few names by you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, President George W. Bush, Vice President Joe Biden, Kevin Costner, Mike Ditka. Can you imagine Mike Ditka played Little League? Chris Drury, Tony Hawk, certainly the Derek Jeters of the world. But Huey Lewis and Brent Musburger, Kyle Petty, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, Brian, is there anybody that hasn't played Little League in the years of the 75 years that they've been in existence?
Not many. I mean, the impressive thing about our sort of notable alumni is it's not just baseball players. Sure, we have great baseball players, past, present, and future, that are out on the fields, but they're world leaders, they're authors, they're scientists, they're emergency first responders, they're military heroes. It's a wide variety, and it's really a testament to all of the local experiences and really what so many coaches and volunteers are doing out there to really help improve the upbringing and the, you know, social and recreational lives of children around the world.
Well, you know, 75 years of anything is certainly a big deal, but when you consider 75 years of dealing with children, young boys and girls, and trying to make them become good adults, and providing character and loyalty and everything, it's just amazing. And, you know, for the naysayers, or for certainly people who have said, oh, you know, Little League, it's just those kids who, you know, are elite, or they're the kids who are on TV. You know, I was looking through some of the 75th anniversary facts, if you will. And I've got to admit, as a lifelong Little Leaguer, and I'm going into my 24th year as a Little League coach, I didn't even know this, but you guys have 9 Little League World Series events. I mean, 9 Little League World Series events that stretch from, of course, you know, Williamsport to California, to Michigan, to Maine, to South Carolina. And then, you know, a lot of times people forget their Little League has one of the best, if not the best, girls softball program as well. I mean, how great are these events?
It's, you know, it really is something that, you know, we take pride in, obviously, but there's an option for every child from ages 4 to 18 to be involved in Little League some way, from T-ball to, you know, our divisions of play for baseball and softball to our challenger division to give developmentally and physically challenged players an opportunity to be on the field. That, you know, there's just really something for everybody. And, you know, everybody thinks of Little League and they think of the Baseball World Series here in Williamsport because it's the oldest, it's the one that gets the most attention. But over the course of our 75 years, we've really adapted and we've really seen where we can help impact a community and help impact a family and giving them the opportunity to have a safe on-field experience. And that's really, you know, the development of our softball program, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Our Challenger Division is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Our Urban Initiative our Urban Initiative is celebrating its 15th anniversary, and that's, you know, that's a program that is developed to really provide inner city and communities that don't have the financial means an opportunity to play baseball and softball. So, you know, we sort of look at our organization as a way to help communities. And really, the course of 75 years, we've taken many challenges on and really grown and expanded to provide the opportunities to everybody who needs them and everybody who wants them in their communities. We're so much more than the Little League Baseball World Series, and it's great that we show off our Little League Baseball World Series and everybody gets excited about it in August, but it's really just a nice reminder that there are these communities. There are inclusive for everybody. It's an opportunity for everybody, and sure, the few lucky ones play in one of our nine World Series, and there's five Baseball World Series, and there's four Softball World Series, and you know, there's a lucky few, but like me and like many other little leaguers around the world, you know, we were lucky to make it to All-Stars, let alone a region or a sectional or any sort of advanced level of tournament play. But the lessons that you learn from that and the memories that you make, they're really what we're going to be celebrating next year.
Absolutely. I mean, as we tell our kids so many times that, you know, it's you won't remember the scores or maybe even who won the game, but the lessons that you will learn and the fun that you had on the field is just, you know, something that will stick with you for the rest of your life. We are speaking on the Youth Sports Now hotline with Brian McClintock, who's the Director of Media Relations at Little League International, direct from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, sort of the for me and for many of the people around the world, the mecca of Little League Baseball. In fact, in 2011, I believe it was, the Little League World Series that was conducted in Williamsport, the attendance was something like 410,000 plus people. So it's just, you know, that's a great, great, great thing. But you know, Brian, one of the things you mentioned a minute ago, you used a key word. You used the word safe. And Little League is so much more than just the baseball and the sports and the divisions, whether it be softball, challenger, or whatever. There are programs that Little League runs and conducts that are for the volunteers to make sure that the kids are safe. So there's background checks that take place annually. There are safety programs that take place. There are resources for coaches, resources for umpires. Let's talk a little bit about how, you know, 75 years of that kind of good stuff makes sure that our kids are safe.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the benefits of being a successful organization the past 75 years is that we have so much of our own research and data around safety, both on-field and off-field, that we really base our decisions off of. You know, the history of Little League with its safety program really goes back to its inception. You know, we were the first organization to develop rubber-molded cleats. We, you know, our past president, Dr. Creighton Hale, he developed the modern-day batter's helmet and the catcher's mask with the throat guard and the non-wood bat. You know, we've always been a pioneer on safety on field, and we've really taken a large amount of pride in that we are one of the safest organizations out there for your kid to be playing in. Whether it's, you know, providing information on concussions and how to recognize those symptoms and what your state requires as far as protection systems go for concussions and head injuries to, you know, eliminating the batter's box and pitch counts is such a huge, huge deal. And working with Dr. James Andrews, who many people hear about when they talk about Adrian Peterson's knee reconstruction surgery and many, many other notable athletes getting their sports injuries treated to, Dr. Andrews is on our board of directors. And, you know, having his knowledge and insight into things like pitch counts and really, you know, the importance of saving our young players' arms, it's really based on overuse and overthrowing, not so much on what pitches you're throwing or the types of pitches, but more on how much you're using it. And, you know, developing our pitch counts throughout the years and really honing them in and really protecting our players' arms and their well-being and making sure that they're well-rounded athletes and not sort of just overused baseball machines is really an important aspect to us. And then off-field, like you mentioned, you know, we're one of the only organizations that requires background checks, and we provide 125 free background checks for every league. You know, that's another important aspect to us. We want to make sure that our volunteers are out there for, you know, the betterment of our Little League and the betterment of the kids that they're coaching or umpiring running the concession stand for.
So, Brian, one question that I have for you is, you know, you've got the opportunity right now, today, with youth sports now. The presidents of the leagues in District 4, New York State District 4, which is where we are located, they all listen to the show, or they better listen to the show, only because when we have our district meeting, I will harass them until they have heard the show. What should they do? I mean, how can the local Little League president, how can the local Little League coaches help Little League International celebrate this 75th anniversary?
You know, that's a great question, and something that we're really hoping that we can excite our local leagues with our 75th anniversary. You know, one of the things that we really want to stress is that it doesn't take a lot of extra work. You know, everybody has a lot of events and a lot of celebrations during their local leagues, and really just sort of giving that an anniversary throwback feel to each one of them is really, you know, what we're hoping that everybody will do. So whether it's inviting some alumni back to your opening ceremonies, or, you know, adding some 75th anniversary flair to your parade. There are some incentives right now with local leagues that are out there chartering, that we have rocker patches that people can put on their uniforms, and the first 1,000 leagues will get a 75th anniversary. The first 1,000 leagues that charter will get a 75th anniversary banner that they can use all year next year. And, you know, that banner will also be available for purchase. So there's ways to celebrate sort of with the imagery around it. But really, you know, we want our leagues to really reach out to their alumni and try to really excite those people who played throughout the years and tap into those memories, because that's what it's about. You know, I'm excited to go back to my local Little League that I played in so many years ago and really be a part of their celebration this year. So that's sort of the thing that we're looking for, and opening pitches and really just celebrating your history along with Little Leagues, because our 75th anniversary couldn't be possible without all those memories. And those are the local memories that we want you to tap into and feel proud of and really celebrate.
Well, you know, it's funny. One of the guys that you work with down there at Williamsport, Dan Velt, who is the director of league development for Little League International, I was telling him that I've got a challenge out to many Little League coaches and managers and board members around this community, where they should send us their pictures of them as a Little Leaguer, and we'll put it on the radio show website and even on their Little League sites and try and figure out who's who. It would be interesting, because I know my mother found a Little League picture of me when I was about 10 years old in my uniform, and I'm dating myself here, but it was the wool uniform, and I remember how much that thing itched, but the picture still exists, and I know folks who were in the first leagues up here in Rochester who actually still have their uniforms. One guy still fits in it, surprisingly enough, as I was telling a few other people. So the actual date then, Brian, is June 6th is the actual 75th celebration day, but this is really going to be a year-long event.
Absolutely. You know, really starting in January and really running all the way through the end of the World Series at the end of August, you know, we will be talking about a lot of major events that we have coming up. Some of them are some of them will be talked about in more detail here in the coming months, and we'll have more details out there, but keep a lookout on littleleague.org and on our social media, Facebook pages and Twitter, and you know, really follow us to find out about those big celebrations and to share your own as well. You know, if you're a Little Leaguer, or you were a Little Leaguer, or have some sort of ties to Little League, make sure you are finding those memories, finding those photos. I did the same thing. I went through my parents' archives and was able to dig out my T-ball day photos, and we're all looking forward to celebrating and sharing those memories on our Big Legacy Project website, and really, you know, tapping into everybody's Little League memories. Most people have them, so we're excited to see them.
Absolutely fantastic. We've been speaking with Brian McClintock, who is the head of media relations for Little League International in Williamsport, as 2014 brings us into the happy 75th anniversary of Little League International, and we welcome everybody to share those memories, because that's what Little League is about, is making memories. So, Brian, thanks for joining us, and you know, we look forward to more things coming up in 2014.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Thanks so much for your support.
When we come back, Mike Naparella and some peak performance tips.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance. Performance 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now with our good friend Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Hey, Mike, how's things going?
Excellent, Greg. How's it going with you?
Very good, thanks. And, you know, with this announcement with Little League about their 75th anniversary, and then couple that with, you know, a question that we had last week from a listener regarding Tommy John surgery. You know, we spoke a little bit about that last week, but can you give some examples of the things that you find at Peak Performance when your physical therapists are helping a patient with this sort of injury or a surgery that aren't at the elbow itself, but somewhere else?
Absolutely. You know, even first, before I do that, I just want to say what an awesome thing is that, number one, that Youth Sports Now was able to be the first people in the entire country to be able to announce this. But what a neat thing it is for an organization like Little League Baseball to be around for so long and to offer such a great opportunity to all these young kids. When I remember when I was a kid and going to my little brother's Little League games, how neat it was to see so many kids involved in the sport and having fun and laughing and being great teammates and just enjoying being out there in the beautiful weather in the summer and having fun. And that was just totally reinforced this summer when I came out to your team and watched them play a little bit. And just there's a ton of kids who've really been blessed by the opportunity that programs and organizations like Little League Baseball offer. So kudos to them, and great job to you to be able to play such a great role in that organization. Greg, on your question, here's what I think it comes down to. At Peak Performance, we really think about this whole injury thing a little bit differently. We really hope that parents and coaches and athletes, and really even doctors, would think about this a little differently too. You know, absolutely, the very first thing that needs to be thought about is what tissue is injured and how can we help that tissue recover. And that's where most traditional therapy, and that's where the thought processing from even doctors starts. Our challenge is that I think too often it's really where things stop as well. And this is where we want parents and coaches and the listeners out there thinking a little bit differently about an injured tissue. So in this case, we're talking about the ulnar collateral for an elbow and a thrower in baseball. And it's a great example. For us, and for the parents and coaches and athletes out there, we want them thinking more about, well, why did that elbow get hurt? I think that's really the key. And all therapists out there understand there are certain things that you need to do to optimize the healing environment for that tissue. I mean, you're going to protect the tissue from stretching forces. There's modalities like ultrasound that you can do to improve blood flow for that healing environment. You're going to do progressive exercises around the elbow. We're all really on the same page with that stuff. That's not really where the differences occur. But I'd submit, though, that if we stop right there and we leave it at that, that this young athlete's going to be at the very same risk that they were before. Recovering from the injury is a must. You've got to handle that tissue. But really a big key, I think, is preventing it from recurring and working biomechanically to, here's the key, understand why did it happen. That's really the underlying thing. I'll give you an example here. This is the example we talk to patients. If you're functioning perfectly fine, everything's going well, and you get hit by a car, or you land in a hole and you twist your knee, or you fall down the stairs and you suffered some sort of a trauma, well, those sorts of injuries, they require a lot less focus on problem solving because it was just a trauma. The recovery is really all about being creative and thoughtful about, you know, progressively loading those tissues. But most injuries aren't traumas like that. You know, these things tend to mount up and they worsen over time. So recently, Greg, I was talking to a physician, and this person had said they had a stress fracture from running. And as we talked about it, they said, and this was a doctor, they said, you know, their first thought was it was, you know, it must have been overuse, and maybe they had some nutritional issues. And this is the way not only doctors, but certainly patients out in the community, coaches and parents and athletes think this way. And we understand why, but I reminded him, you know, the other leg that had no pain, the other leg that had no stress fracture, had the very same nutrition. It had the very same number of impacts. If we focus on just doing the right thing for that one leg or that foot and trying to, you know, coddle it along with exercise and do some progressive loading, that's all nice, and I think we're all on the same page that way. Yeah. But the real key is finding out, why did that leg have a stress fracture in the midst of the same nutrition? And in the midst of the same number of impacts, but the other leg that experienced the very same life didn't. And I think that's the point. It didn't experience the same life. So let's talk about that ulnar collateral. Everyone who throws doesn't get an ulnar collateral injury. Why is that? Well, for us, it's really about looking back at the other body parts as well. We've got to go back, and we see this all the time, that the thoracic spine, or a lot of people don't know what thoracic means. It's the trunk or the rib cage area. Oftentimes, the thrower actually lacks twisting motion there, or another place would be the shoulder blade, the scapula. And those sort of things can lead to what we'd call that all-arm style of throwing that, as a coach, I know you've seen in a lot of young athletes. And we even really, Greg, we've seen it in high school kids. We've seen it even in college and in young professionals oftentimes, is that those, you know, they've been very successful as a young athlete, and they can throw the ball with a lot of velocity, and with enough practice, they get their target, their accuracy down. And so they remain the pitcher who just keeps moving up through the ranks, and their body finds a way to throw a good ball. But that doesn't mean their mechanics are all spot on as well as you'd like, and so that leaves other body parts at risk. Another thing that we see oftentimes, which is really odd because a pitcher is the person you'd really think would have maybe the very best balance on the entire baseball team. But with this injury example of the ulnar collateral, we oftentimes see those pitchers oftentimes have really poor balance. And whether it's on the standing leg during their cocking phase or whether it's the plant leg, it oftentimes can lead to this change in timing, particularly when they plant and how quickly they plant, because their balance isn't quite right. And it's all very short milliseconds of a time, but it really impacts the speed at which their body moves. And other things could be, with this elbow, again, we're talking about an elbow, but here we are talking about other body parts. Another example is their hips. Very frequently we see stiffness and or weakness in either hip. And those things lead to that body opening really early again. And that, again, it follows with that sort of whippy arm trying to catch up to the body. and you get this all-arm style of movement. So, you know, for an elbow like that, we're eventually even looking down at their opposite foot. So if it's a right elbow, I've got to look at your left foot, or I don't really understand the forces that elbow sees. And I think that's really, you know, one of those big keys when we talk about this idea. We've spoken in the last week or two about this idea of protocols. And, you know, they're a blessing in many ways, but they also can sort of be a curse. Because we get so focused on this target tissue of the elbow, for example, that we sometimes can fail to go back and really give thought to, but why? Why did my elbow fail and yours didn't? We're both throwing. Why? And I think that's really where it's imperative for parents to understand that where they go matters.
So, Mike, you know, when a lot of people, and I have to admit, I've heard this a couple of times from people who either may be naysayers or who have had a bad experience. When people out there have injuries that need physical therapy, you know, what do you say to the parents or the coaches who think or say, hey, we tried PT before and it didn't work? Or, you know, all physical therapy is the same. How do you react to that?
Well, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, the parents and coaches and athletes and even, you know, doctors who sometimes think that physical therapy is sort of like a commodity. It's a thing. It's like going to the store to buy car tires or going to, you know, Wegmans and getting a loaf of bread. Wherever you can go to pay the best price, wherever you can go in and get in and get out the quickest, that's really the key. The product is all the same. Well, that's not really true, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of skilled physical therapists out there, but the truth is that all of us aren't trained the same. And some of us have specialties and experience and skill bases that are different than others. You know, that fact that physicians are licensed and physical therapists are licensed and massage therapists are licensed is that baseline that does set us apart from people who haven't been trained, to say that we have this bare minimum requirement to be able to serve the community and we have this extensive training. But really, for the great majority of us, you know, when we get better and better at what we do, it really comes from all that extra training, all the time and experience that you put in over the years. I'm a much different physical therapist now, 25 years later, than I was long ago. Our therapists, Mike Galasala and Aaron Borsick and my wife Karen, are much different therapists. Mike and Aaron have been out for less than 10 years, but they're still very different therapists today than they were before. And what happens between that day you graduate and have your license and, you know, where you are now, the types of courses that you've gone to, the types of people that you've been mentored by, has a huge impact on what kind of skills and services you have to offer. And so, I some people out there specialize in certain areas and others sort of are more generalist. And it's not as simple as just buying a car tire. It has a lot to do with who you see. So for peak performance, for us, that means we want to be, and I think we are, the experts in sports and orthopedic care in this area, you know, because it's based on that extra and that extensive training that we've had in biomechanical problem solving and understanding function. And we're really proud to be the only facility in Rochester that has therapists who are fellowship and certification trained in these areas. I mean, every single day we find examples of how having that functional mechanics approach has meant a huge difference in helping the injured athlete or their family members get back to not just getting back, but really staying back. And, you know, the idea about having tried physical therapy before is the same sort of thing. So think of it this way, Greg. If you had a problem with your car, and you went to a mechanic, and it seemed fixed, and then a week later the problem comes back again, would you say, okay, well, mechanics doesn't really work, so I'm going to go try something different? No way. I mean, the only option you have is a mechanic. You can't take your car that's, you know, drifting to the left and take it to the car wash and see if you wash it, it'll be different. Or maybe we should just go get the car painted. You can't try something different. Mechanics is what you do. That's what you see to fix your car. So if one mechanic didn't fix it, you wouldn't stop and say, well, I don't have any more options here. I can't see a mechanic again because mechanic doesn't work. Same thing. A mechanic is not a commodity. It's not a loaf of bread. It's not a tire. It's about the person that you saw. And so you'd go find someone else who had even more specialty training or more experience to try and help fix your car because you need that thing running. Your body is really the same way. And we believe that in sports and orthopedic care for young athletes, what it all comes down to in the end is that you have to understand that body. You have to understand how it moves. You have to understand it locally, but you really, really have to understand how shortcomings and limitations in one body part, and sometimes very distantly removed, can have a huge impact. And so the example I gave you, Greg, with the ulnar collateral question that you asked, is a perfect example of there are times that we've seen a kid with an ulnar collateral that when you look at their shoulder and look at their arm, it all looks really pretty good. But then you go look at that left hip, or I look at their left ankle and see a real significant limitation there. And then we look and talk about their throwing mechanics, and they'll even oftentimes say, yeah, my coaches said I tend to, you know, whatever the compensation would be. And you can see why the elbow was taking the hit it did. And I think that's really the big key to it all.
You know, Mike, part of the other difference, I think, with peak performance, is not only the expertise and the folks that you've got there as part of the team, but in the remaining minute or so that we've got left, you know, tell me a little bit more about this sports injury screening and the opportunity that that young athletes have to go to peak performance and have this sports injury screening take place with them.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think, you know, we've seen, you know, more and more over the years that increasingly parents and coaches are more and more aware that there's various options out there for them. Schools have athletic trainers, you know, they have their family physician, there's urgent care clinics. But sometimes the timing of these things just isn't real convenient for them. And sometimes they're not sure if the place they want to go really has the expertise in sports and orthopedics. You know, and there's a number of examples where that could be the case, where it is a medical professional, you know, quote unquote, but they don't necessarily have sports orthopedics background. Or they have an athletic trainer at school, but there's only one trainer servicing hundreds of athletes. They just aren't available, and some of them are only there part-time. So parents and coaches are looking for, they need some sort of quick answer. It's just, I don't need a big full evaluation yet. I just need to know, do I need a full evaluation? Do I need to go to the hospital? Does it look like we need x-rays? Should we be on crutches or not? Can we just give it a few days? And so all these different things are going through parents' minds, and they need some sort of inexpensive, quick, just head me in the right direction. If the right direction is to stay with you and start treatment, then, man, let's do that right away. If I don't really need to go through all that stuff and I just need to take a few days off and ice it and rest it and it doesn't look like a major injury, then thank goodness we didn't take it further and have unnecessary expensive tests. So what we've begun offering at Peak Performance is the sports injury screening where, you know, whether it's a young athlete in junior high all the way up to college kids, you know, they have an injury or they've had a nagging problem that they're just not sure what the right next step for them to be is, give us a call at 218-0240, and we will get you in within 24 hours. We should be able to get you in very often the same day. And it's just a sort of inexpensive, $25, maybe about a 15-minute quick screening thing where you can have someone who's skilled in orthopedic testing and sports injuries take a quick look at you and just try to help point you in the right direction and give you a little bit of confidence to be proactive and not linger it. You know, I told you an example, Greg, a few weeks ago about a girl who came in with a knee problem that she finally decided to get treated. And her parents weren't even fully aware of this. She'd had knee pain for 4 or 5 years, and now she's doing really well after 4 to 6 weeks of therapy, after 5 years of a problem. Boy, I wish you would have come in 4 years ago or 5 years ago when it first started. She could have had years of enjoyment and success playing and less anguish and less hurt and disappointment over just merely dealing with the hurting, but also dealing with maybe not playing as well and struggling with her playing time and all the other things that come along with those injuries. Get it dealt with now. Don't wait.
Well, Mike, that's, you know, wonderful opportunities for the young athletes in the Rochester community to go to Peak Performance and to, you know, partake in this sports injury screening. It's well worth the time, the very nominal fee, and of course the peace of mind. So I think it's a great thing that you guys are doing there, and we appreciate it. So until next week, Mike, you know, we'll keep plugging away here, and I'm sure the listeners will be getting us some more questions, and I will talk to you next week.
We'll see you all next week.
Great, thanks, Mike. When I come back, a little bit of a final thought for the day from my dugout.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Did you ever have to make up your mind?
A young athlete rises from a fitful night. The youngster plods downstairs to breakfast and to mom and dad's watchful eye. The player looks tired, and the sigh that comes from deep within signals that no decision has been made. What could this young boy or girl possibly be struggling with that would cause them to get sick on a Saturday morning? In today's youth sports world, the answer is simple. Two games in two different sports at the same time. This scenario is played out in many households each weeknight and certainly every weekend. It didn't used to be that way, but those days are over. So just what is the solution for these athletes, and how can we as adults assist them in making the decision? Experts say that parents and coaches shouldn't make the decision for them, as harsh as that may sound. The best approach is giving the kids the permission and approval and the support that whatever decision they make is A-okay. Kids can love two sports at the same time with the same intensity. As adults, we need to allow the kids to love them equally and give them the permission to make the decision, and regardless, we are okay with it. Frankly, as parents, it shouldn't matter if we spend the time at the ice rink or the lacrosse field, as long as our children are happy and healthy. Coaches and leagues need to take responsibility, too, by not harping on the youngster about which game they will choose. Coaches and parents need to communicate with each other more, and dare I say, coaches of one sport need to communicate with coaches of the other sport. No coach is bigger than the sport itself, and simply understanding that these are kids with no salaries and no big egos can go a long way in teaching life lessons. Until now, youth sports leagues have trended towards registering kids younger and younger in an attempt to get them to be one-sport players. USA Hockey, the organization in charge of developing the national and Olympic teams, researched their membership and saw that children introduced to the game at very early stages weren't sticking with it. They made an astonishing shift and told the organizations to encourage kids to play other sports, even if it meant missing a hockey game. Kids vote with their feet, says Ken Martell, USA Hockey's leader on youth reforms. If they're not having fun and enjoying what they do, they walk away from the sport. So next Saturday morning, when your son or daughter wakes up with two games at one time, let them decide. And just smile and be happy that they're out there playing and that they're healthy and they love sports. That's The View from my dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now. Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.